The Dave Ross Show on News Talk 97.3, Cairo FM.
With Paul Harris filling in for Dave today, thanks very much for listening. I continue to be fascinated with the Russian spy story. There's something magical about that word spy. Maybe I've just seen too many James Bond and Jason Bourne movies over the years. I don't know. But the notion of Russian spies in America, it's so Cold War. And if anybody thinks that we don't have spies in Russia, I think you're fooling yourself. That's pretty much the job of the CIA. The two new developments in the story today, one, we're finding out that there was a hot Russian babe who was one of the spies who's been arrested by the FBI, Anna Chapman, or at least that's what she called herself. She is a really attractive redhead, self-styled entrepreneur, said she dabbled in real estate. There are lots of photos of her that have gotten out in the last 24 hours because people went to her Facebook page where she said, if you can dream, you can become it. 28-year-old savvy, sexy Russian spy who had lived in America for a few years and apparently liked America a lot, which I think was a big part of the story here, because I was in Russia in 1989. I broadcast a radio show from there back to the States for a week from Moscow. And the predominant memory is of the color gray. Everything there was gray at the time and probably hasn't changed in the last 20 years. I'm talking about the buildings, the streets, the food, the people. Everything looked gray. I didn't meet any who looked like sexy, savvy Russian spy Anna Chapman. And I think I know now why. They're sending them all over here because they fit in better over here. And when you come from a gray place to this place of all different colors and tastes and options, this was the greatest assignment of their lives. Imagine if you were in your 20s, which a lot of these people were, in Russia, and you got to go to America and live here like an American. Yeah, you had to lie about who you were and where you were from, but that's what spies do. The Seattle connection here is the other thing that fascinates me, because the couple that lived here in the Seattle area was not in their 20s. They weren't hot, young, savvy, sexy Anna Chapman, but a kind of drab, prototypical Russian couple. There's a piece about them in today's Seattle Times written by Jonathan Martin and Christine Wilmson, and I've asked Jonathan to join us here and talk about them a little bit. Hi, how are you?
Good. How you doing, Paul?
Good. Tell me about Michael Zottoli and Patricia Mills. Did you meet them in person?
No, they were arrested in Arlington on Sunday, I think.
No, but I mean, had you ever run across these people?
Well, you know, I feel like I very well could have. They seemed to be a pretty typical Seattle couple with young kids. There's a lot less Austin Powers and a lot more like Married with Children. they did a very good job of integrating, you know, into their neighborhood and their building and workplace and American life. They just seem typical.
Now, in the piece, you and Christine mentioned that they didn't admit that they were Russian, which I find interesting, because there's nothing wrong with being a Russian immigrant to the United States of America. My grandparents were Russian immigrants, so it's been going on for decades now. But the people who met them said that they didn't say that, right?
Well, yeah, the Michael Zottoli, who had a little more of a public profile because he had a job, would deflect. He was asked by coworkers where he had this accent, and he would just deflect. He would dodge and be vague, and until people just stopped asking him. But the guy who hired him thought it sounded like a Russian accent. People in their building thought that she sounded Ukrainian, but they told different stories. Zottoli told his coworkers that he was raised in Taiwan and some time in Chicago, and U.S. citizen. But he was also Italian and made some time in Italy. So there was a little bit of a head fake, head fake approach to his background.
When you talked to the neighbors, did they all give the standard answer we get whenever anybody's arrested for anything, from serial murder to anything else? They seemed like a lovely young couple. We didn't even know they owned a chainsaw. You know, it's always that sort of thing.
Yeah, either that or they were just turning their lives around.
Right.
Yeah, it was there was some genuine shock, especially because you use the word spy, and you know, to me, the Jason Bourne movies come to mind.
Yes.
I said not a couple that's pushing their there's toddler around the neighborhood in a stroller and just sort of keeping a low profile, and you know, who knows? This it makes it feel a bit. Makes this program make me. What makes me wonder, and the people that were around them wonder, what information exactly were they providing back to the homeland?
You know, that's a great question, because they supposedly were sent here to infiltrate American society and meet influential people and learn secret information about what I don't know. So, you know, did they have the keys to Bill Gates' place, or, you know, what were they gaining living in Bellevue?
Well, it makes you wonder, you know, if they were, you know, if Patricia Mills was sending back coded messages about who was bringing the non-organic cookie to the daycare group. You know, by day, Michael Zottoli was doing mid-level, you know, sort of routine accounting, doing client accounting at a, you know, at a small software firm. Not a whole lot of state secrets there. You know, Patricia Mills was a stay-at-home mother. Not sure how many state secrets are locked in, you know, in Capitol Hill, in a Capitol Hill apartment and childcare groups. So it certainly begs the question, what was really going on, or if there was anything going on. I don't know.
You know, when I introduced this whole segment, I said this would be a great job for a young Russian or any Russian to be able to get out of that country, you know, which is really a country of haves and have-nots. And if you're a have-not and you get recruited into some sort of spy program and you get sent to America, you're going to do everything you possibly can to try to stay here. And I guess that would have to involve sending back all sorts of information, even when you don't have it, because the Home Office is going to keep saying, you know, Patricia and Michael, we haven't gotten a report from you in about 3 weeks. Okay, you go in the den and you gin up some details about who knows what, but... I mean, do we know if they had access to anybody who knew anything about anything important?
We didn't get any indication. The people that were in their lives we talked to had no indication they were doing anything that was interesting. you mentioned that, I was in Moscow last year as part of a fellowship program at the University of Michigan and you know, met with a bunch of students at their equivalent of like the Harvard Business School, the Moscow State University, and they were all Americanophiles. They just wanted to know everything about American culture. They followed everything they could on the internet.
Yep.
Continues to be just a fascination with the U.S., even as, an interesting history.
Yeah, I found that when I was there in 89. Was it still gray in 2009?
There was not a lot of new construction. I was actually kind of delighted about how the center city had stayed really well preserved. It's a gorgeous center city. Must have felt to me like, it was a little bit of Vienna in it. In the get out in the suburbs, and yeah, you're exactly right. Sort of wedding cake tiered concrete towers that just go on and on and on and on and on.
About as bland a place as you can possibly find. Last thing I want to ask you about here is just the notion of spying. I know you're not the espionage reporter for the Seattle Times. You don't cover this as your regular beat. But doesn't it strike you as odd that here we are into the 21st century now and we still have Russian spies doing this sort of thing here, and you know that we've got people in Moscow and St. Petersburg and elsewhere who have got, and all over the world, who have got to be doing the same thing for us. In an internet age, it has to make you wonder, is that really a viable job anymore?
It certainly does. There are some interesting articles about the history of this program written the last couple of days. And, you saw the utility of this back in the day, but it made, I was talking to my colleagues, it seems like if you want to spy these days, it's a lot more effective to put a couple of 15-year-old hackers into a room with a T1 line and, but, it's possible they were recruiting. That's one of the things we were looking at yesterday is if they were trying to make contact with people, trying to recruit them into this as well. But
Recruit them to do what?
Maybe to be, recruit them to be spies as well.
Somebody had to take over from Michael and Patricia when they moved from Seattle to Virginia, right? There could still be Russian spies here in the Seattle area who are still not gathering any vital information of any kind.
I found the other thing I found very funny about this is that this last meeting Zatoli had, alleged meeting, we should say that he's been charged and has not, these charges haven't been proven yet.
Right.
The last alleged meeting he had with his Russian contact, according to this, the FBI charging documents, is he was sitting in a coffee shop and they're complaining about the quality of the laptop computer that he got from Moscow. It was freezing up, it was hanging up, you couldn't get it to run right.
Yeah.
It just felt to me like, it just, there's a little bit of an absurdity to the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I'm laughing at it is because of this. And, in the stories that we're hearing, vital information apparently didn't go. We may not know if there was, but nobody was getting killed. And, I think that's why we can look at this and laugh.
Well, the one thing I found striking, too, in looking at these documents is that there was the FBI was all over this couple. They
yes.
knew when they were coming and going. They were intercepting emails or intercepting radiograms. They knew exactly how much cash was being transmitted. They had the apartment, this couple's apartment, under surveillance, and it sounds like potentially bugged for years. This was not, if they were doing a good job, they were doing a good job of not looking like spies to the rest of us. I think that sounds like they were not doing a very good job of hiding from the FBI.
Yeah. Very good point. Jonathan Martin from the Seattle Times. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Paul Harris filling in for Dave Ross on 97.3 Cairo FM.